Hello there, Erin.
Hello, Mary.
It's like you did a dance. Every time we do these hellos now, you've got like...
kind of my body.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I like it. Through. I like it. It just shocks me sometimes.
I'm Molly like, Shannoning it.
Yes. Like, you know, superstar.
Superstar.
Is that what she used to
I
do?
Don't smell my armpits, though. I draw the line.
Hello, and welcome to the Homestay Kitchen with me, Mary Chan, and Erin Eastman. This is a podcast where we serve up stories of being a homestay family, the ups and downs of making a connection with international homestay students. We'll bring a plate full of stories, ideas, interviews, and hopefully dish up some anecdotes to share with our community.
Culture shock. It can come in many different forms, not just language for international students. From food to hygiene and even the way people dress. It's not about what each culture is doing right or wrong, but about how things are done and are acceptable in different countries. Culture shock can be entertaining and fascinating to new students at first, but then it could also lead to confusion, being anxious, overwhelm, and disorientation, which then could induce homesickness. So what is this cycle, and what signs are we looking for? In today's episode, we go through the 10 steps of culture shock and how it's all part of being a homestay host to international students studying abroad. Hi, Erin. I don't know why I did it that way. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Mary. I'm swell.
You're swell. I think we're just in a really giddy mood today.
Well, normally we do this at a different time of the day, and I'm seeing you in the afternoon.
That's true. And at the end of the week instead of the beginning of the week.
Right? You're all a flutter.
Yeah. So for us, this is all a little different.
It's a bit different. And so you're getting a different mood from me today.
Oh, I see.
Right? It's the end of the week, Erin, and finished all of her jobs for the week. And oh my gosh, it's the weekend.
Right?
Doesn't that feel good?
That would be good.
Yeah.
How are your students doing?
Are we already a month in?
Pretty
feels
much.
Like longer almost.
A month or so.
Month and a bit. Yeah. Wow.
Time flies when you're having
it
fun.
It does fly. We're starting to plan trips, right?
Though, oh, yes. Because they're fine. They're settled. They're into it.
So some trips with the school, like one of my students plays band, and so they're going to go on a band trip. So I was signing permission forms for that. It's very exciting. And yeah, another one will do like a day trip, do some shopping with some friends. So lots of forms were happening at our house this week. But yeah, they're very social and making friends with in their international community, but also lots of Canadian friends, which is so wonderful.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah.
That they're getting out of their comfort zone, that they are willing to be vulnerable with other people, not just from their own countries.
That's great. So I really applaud that. And they're really enjoying that piece too.
And that's all part of what we're going to talk about today with the 10 steps of culture shock. Because I feel like even though they're here for the long term, that they're on one of the highs right now of the roller coaster, as you called it, the emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, of being away. And I find with students and with some of my girls from the past, right, of what that can be like. They do go through periods of, I've experienced some of them with homesickness, and we'll get through what some of those highs and lows might be on that roller coaster. Yeah.
Right. And with these highs and lows, it doesn't show up at an exact certain time. Mm-hmm. Especially it depends on the length of how long your student is staying. So like when I have my short-term students, all these highs and lows still exist, but they're really compacted into the time that they're here. Let's just get into it and then we'll throw out some examples. So the 10 steps of culture shock, the first one really is the pre-departure ups and downs. So this is even before they get on the plane.
So this will be like back at in their home country, at home, and that those like pre-anxieties of packing and
who is this family that I'm going to live with? Who are these strangers?
Documentation, trying to get all of that sorted. Yeah.
Just think about any time like you might go on a trip. Or not even a trip, just doing something new. It's the whole idea of, oh my gosh, the unknown, what is going to happen? But also the ups of that where, oh my gosh,
what is going to happen? I'm going to have an adventure.
And this has been my dream to go and do this. Yes. And my family's supporting me and how great and amazing it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got a little bit of up, a little bit of down, and the anxiety and just all of that even before you step foot on a plane.
Mm-hmm. And also thinking about, I'm going to have to say goodbye to my family and how, you know, that kind of pit and what that feels like. Yeah.
And I'm not going to see my friends, especially for the teenagers. Mm-hmm. When you're in that age group, friends are a big deal. And you're going to be leaving your core buddies to a foreign city and you know no one. Yeah, there's just a lot to go emotionally, mm-hmm. even before you leave.
Yeah. And then by the time you get on that plane and it's a long flight and it's just you and you're sitting there with those feelings and you've just said goodbye to your family and how heart-wrenching that can be. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's siblings too, right? And that you're saying goodbye to, and that's really difficult as well. And then you're off on the plane and there's this great homestay family that's, yay, so happy to see you, and trying to match those feelings, whether you feel that way or not, mm-hmm. can often feel a little disjointed as well as jet-lagged.
Yeah. From all the conversations that we've had so far with different organizations and homestay hosts, this is the time once they arrive at your house where you're making the first impressions, and hopefully with that we'll continue the ups and not have any more downs at this point, because things can change as the stay progresses. However, the next step on the 10 steps of culture shock is the honeymoon phase of arriving in a new place.
Everything's new. It's a new relationship. You're getting to know one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The adventure begins.
It's like a blank slate. It's like you can a chance to almost reinvent yourself a bit, mm-hmm. with new routines.
Yeah. Nobody knows about your baggage either. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you start fresh. Everything is new. Everything is great. Brand new relationships. It's a total high. Do you think that you are on the honeymoon phase with your students right now? Or do you think they're a little bit further along?
Probably they're a bit further along. Like, they feel really settled. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I think too. Whenever I have students, because the time frames are so much shorter, if they stay mm-hmm. for a month, the honeymoon phase can be like a good week, where they're still like, oh, wow, this is new. And oh, my gosh, I can't believe this happens. And oh, that happens. And oh, you do what? And you eat this? And how? Like, just being in a total foreign country. I find that with my students, I tend to get a lot of the honeymoon phase because they don't mm-hmm. stay here very long. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can see that for sure.
Yeah. And then the next one is when they actually get into the culture shock, where this is a down. They are missing things from home. Mm-hmm. They want comfort things. They are so confused on why we do things a certain way. This, I find, doesn't last too long, especially if you are in a homestay, because you have that supportive system mm-hmm. where we play that role of, no, it's okay. This is why we do things, because of this. In our culture, this happens. What happens in your culture? And this is a great time to talk through some of those feelings and emotions that they have. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had students where they're just like in total shock of where they are?
To be fair, a lot of my students that have been placed with me have been here a previous year and have been rehomed to my home.
That's true.
So about half of my students, that has been the case, where they've been here previous year or previous semester and have been rehomed to my home.
So this part of the culture shock, mm-hmm. they've already experienced another family and mm-hmm. not with you.
Not with me. And so I've had two short-term students. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of them was already here. So no, one short-term student that was here for the first time, and the one I have now. So I've had three brand new students. Mm. Yeah, Mary, out of all of the ones that I've hosted, I can only say myself three that have been brand new. And so when you're talking about the culture shock with those three, I don't feel like I had like huge bumps, anything like really huge. Like, it might be something like surprising, but mm-hmm. nothing.
One of the major huge. Things I see is,
okay, talk to me.
The transportation.
Buses?
Yeah.
Because both of those students were Italian. Okay. Mm-hmm. One was Chinese, but like how we get around or like how we don't yell at people. That has been one of the comments from my Italian.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah, I guess.
Like how, like, oh, you, how polite I am to the cyclists.
But yeah. Everybody says thank you to the bus drivers
and,
here.
And that too. Yeah. That we say thank you to the bus drivers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking more of like the negative side of culture shock, where I had this one student. I couldn't figure out why she was having so much trouble with the bus system. I would give her one tactic and then it wouldn't work. So then the next day I go for another tactic. And we had taken her on the bus to show her where to go, mm-hmm. even before the first day of school and how to get back home. But, you know, after a few days, she was still struggling a little bit. And then afterwards, through talking with her, I just realized that she said that there are no buses. She's never taken a bus.
Okay.
In her culture, she's never had to learn. It was always trains. So you never had to pay attention to when you were going to get off the bus or the train in her circumstance, right? But then to come here and having to navigate, okay, well, you're going to get on this stop. And then what do you mean it doesn't stop at every single stop? Because she was just assuming once the bus stops a certain number of times, mm-hmm. like a train, then she gets off. And I'm like, well, no, there are a certain number of bus stops, but the bus doesn't stop every single time unless there is a passenger that needs to get on or
needs
off.
Needs to depart.
Mm-hmm. And that was just like this big, oh my gosh, that's why. That is a shock to her. And she had to figure out and be more aware of how to take the bus and to get around that. And I think it was bothering her for a few days because she was like, why is this so difficult for me? I don't know why. And then we've both, you know, we both talked through and come to realize that that's why. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it works here because we don't have a train system in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
It's just buses and sometimes unreliable buses.
Oh, absolutely.
So you may have to sit at a bus stop for a while. And that's just the way it is in the city.
Yeah.
That's one of the culture shocks that I was that had really come to the forefront for me and one of my students.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is always related to food.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had too many issues with that because most of my students have been Asian. So they love the fact that, like we've talked before, you and I both have a lot of rice in our house. So the Asian students love it. But I had an Argentinian boy and he is all about meat and potatoes. And it was meat and potatoes only. And he couldn't understand why I was not serving him meat and potatoes or why we don't eat that in the house. And I'm like, yeah, we do, but we don't do it that often. We may eat beef once every few months. We eat a lot of chicken. We eat a lot of pork, but we do throw in a veggie dish once a week. We have fish once a week and we have vegetables every single dish. And he was just so upset, confused, sad. Because he couldn't get any of his comfort foods and he, not that he wasn't allowed any, but that he had to be in our culture and he wasn't open to being in another culture.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be in another country, but I think he also was a little bit forced to by his mom. And so he wasn't as open as many students can be.
Missing those comforts.
Yeah, exactly. So he definitely went through this culture shock, this down part. The other thing was that he, in his culture, back in his city, he would hang out with his friends every single Friday night through the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Because they lived in a gated community that all the kids would hang out at one house for that entire weekend. And then the next weekend, it would be somebody else's house.
They would all take turns hosting this group of kids.
Yeah. And then here, if he wanted to, he needed permission from both families. But he's like, why do I need permission?
Mm-hmm. This was always just a given. This is how we...
Yeah, this is how I do things. I'm like, well, you're in another country now. So you have to follow the way we do things here. That's not the way it's going to happen. And so he was a little upset.
Because there goes, in his mind, his whole social...
His independence, too.
And independence, yeah.
And I was saying, it's not like we're going to lock you to the house. He did come with a whole group of friends. Mm-hmm. Like his whole... I think it was his whole class came or something like that. So like his friends are here, but he just wasn't allowed to hang out with them after a certain period of like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever the curfew is that the school had set for them. So there's that culture shock. And having to adjust to that. And with him only here for a month,
That feels when you're like a long time.
That was a long mm-hmm. time. That culture shock period was a good portion of that particular homestay mm-hmm. experience.
And I can see maybe on a culture shock piece, but my mom had a student who in her culture was all about studying. That's all she did, right? Sleep was very difficult for her. I think mm-hmm. I shared her story. So she just wanted to study all the time. She had her Canadian studies and also she was from Japan and her Japanese studies. And
that's all she knows.
That's all she knew. And my intervention of you need to put away your books and you need to sleep and you, because she's spent a night in my home. This, I can't allow this to continue.
Yeah.
You were so tired,
if you're
sweetie.
In my house, if you're in my house, my rules.
I have to take this away and we yeah. can have this conversation yeah. about, you know, yes, homestay does come with a manual and you do need to sleep, right? So we had that lovely conversation. But that actually was difficult for her and kind of did speak to a little bit about, yeah, that shock of how she had been spending the majority of her time studying. But it was so important to be doing well. And she had to just attack with studying.
That doesn't always last. And then eventually they get through an adjustment period, which is step 4 of the 10 steps. It can be approximately 2 weeks. I remember we were chatting with Jennifer Wilson from the yes. Canada Homestay Network. And she says they see at approximately 2 weeks, they get out of that adjustment period, which for short-term students,
that could be your whole
stay. That could be the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
An adjustment period. And then once you're fully adjusted, you're like, oh, time to go back home. Oh my gosh. That's what usually happens with the short-term students. I usually have at least a month, but there are periods where I've heard people do weekend hosting or just 1 or 2 weeks.
Oh, so I'm sorry, but you're just basically going to go out there and be like a tourist and show them a really good time yeah. and not even give them time to be homesick or go through yeah. any of the culture shock. Yeah. It's just like, oh, here we are. Let's have so much fun.
Those real, real short homestays, mm-hmm. you don't get to go through this whole cycle of the 10 steps. You don't even get to the culture shock.
I think you just do the two. The pre-departure.
And then you got to go home.
An arrival. And then go home. Yeah.
And then maybe like the last two from coming home that we'll talk about later. But yeah, you either skip a whole bunch of stuff in the middle or everything is just really, 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 really condensed and it happens a lot quicker.
Talk about a roller coaster. Yeah. That would make me nauseous. Grab all, please.
Yeah. But the adjustment period is great. Because right yes. after that is the acceptance where yes. they're like, yeah, this is the way my life is.
Yeah.
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Or I'm not.
We're having so much fun.
But most of the time it's, yeah, mm-hmm. we're having fun. I love what I'm doing here. They're probably learning so much, mm-hmm. whether it is the actual English or just life in general.
Being a family member.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So is that where you're at right now with your students, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. They have so many hugs and kisses in the morning. I'm going to school for my girls. Yeah, my littles.
I know. I gave you the face because again,
it involved hugs and
yeah,
kisses.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It involved. Yeah, emotional contact. I know, honey. Virtual hugging me right now. Okay. She's not even looking at me.
No, I'm not.
My God. Amazing. Yeah, no, my girls come upstairs and they're like, okay, we're going for school. And when I say my girls, I mean my big girls.
Yeah.
And
we're leaving. Student girls.
Yeah, we're leaving for school. And then my littles just launch themselves at them down the stairs and, oh, hugs and kisses. Have a great day. Then they run. So then they leave the house and then my littles run to the window in the living room window and they crack it open and they scream at them through the cul-de-sac. Have a great day. We love you. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's what happens. But yeah, in the morning, like it's just family is what you see at the dinner table and breakfast and the comings and the goings. And I know I've talked about that a couple of times now, but yeah, that's what you see at our house.
You're magical, I say.
Anyway.
Magical.
Right down to like with one of them, it's like, oh, honey, if you have to make curfew. I care about you so much. Yeah. Well, I don't know what happened at your last homestay, but here I will be concerned if you don't make it. So please make it.
Yeah.
Advance warning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and find you if you don't make curfew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, on a weeknight, can I go do this? You can, but just advance notice. If you don't make it, I'll be saying no next time. Mm. Yeah. It's a weeknight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love you. This is your mother calling. I actually said that I am your mother. Homestay, yes, but just so you know. Yeah. Yeah. I'm wearing my Mama Bear shirt today. Did you see it?
I see that. That's so funny. That is you.
I know.
Rawr. Your Mama Bear.
Yeah.
But then further down the line, Yeah. With every up comes with a down.
I know it's coming. And it may have already happened a little bit, you know, because sometimes people have anniversaries, like wedding anniversaries, or there's siblings out there that will have birthdays or... And I've dealt with this before with some of my students, you know, around cultural celebrations that they're missing or things that have happened back home with family members that we've had to deal with. So I've done it. I can do it, but hit me with it. What do I...
It's the homesickness, whether it is at the halfway point or something special comes up. Or I even had a situation where students were having so much fun that they were forgetting to contact their friends and family back home. And then they get the messages like, are you okay? What's happening with you?
Why aren't we hearing from you?
Yeah. And then they have to reconnect with their family and then realizing, oh, I miss my family.
And so here's the other thing when you host long term. Okay. Mm-hmm. So often we have these lovely things called Christmas holidays and spring breaks.
Yes.
Right. In the school term. And they're quite extensive. There are 2-week breaks. And isn't that enough time for you to go back home and visit your family?
And don't most of them go home?
Mine rarely do, but sometimes I've always had my students for Christmas, but I think this year one of my students might go home for Christmas. I'm probably going to re-go through this whole steps again.
Yes.
So, right, because they'll go pre-depart and then all of and then come back and then our honeymoon all over again. So I think it's just going to launch me into our little graph again.
It would be like situation, a reset. It was a reset. So you would go through all of the, you would probably go through the entire
cycle again.
And then have to go through it again when she comes back.
Yeah. And so I've done that before. I've been through that reset before when a student has gone back to the home country for a visit.
And then do you find that when they come back, so the second time second or third time you go through the cycle, does that cycle become shorter? Like it's easier for them to go through the honeymoon phase and then realizing the culture shock again and then the acceptance is easier
or quicker? It depends on where they are emotionally because... Mm. We also have the pressures of academics in there, right? On where they are in their school academically. Okay. Are they preparing for university at this time? Are, you know, like what pressures are on them? And how bad, like what precipitated going back to their home country? Were they going back because they were homesick or because they weren't feeling well?
Right.
Or, you know, sometimes there are things that precipitate the reasons for going back. It might not just be a visit. It could be a different reason. Mm-hmm. I've kind of been in some situations like that before. So when they come back, are they feeling better? How are they adjusting? And often, depending on where that visit took place, if it was spring break, then guess what? They're going back really quickly in June. It doesn't feel as long-term for me as it might normally be.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
My graph can get shorter. As an odd question, but yes, it can change. I can stretch and pull my graph on a timeline, and I host 2 at a time. So
Just
to track that against somebody who maybe didn't go home at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our hosts were always really super supportive, and I really find that the other homestay sisters is always really good at just leaning in. We just lean in and we
help them out
and support whatever's going on.
Huh. I never think about that. That, you know, you go through this entire cycle, they leave just to go home for a bit, and then they come back and you go through the whole cycle again.
Yeah.
Because my students never, we don't have that.
Oh, okay.
They just come once and then they leave, right? Like we only go through the cycle once.
Yeah, they do come home. They come back again. Yep. And it can kind of feel that just that little disparity a bit because you're back again and yes, this is home, but the other place is home too. And so then it's almost that conflicting. I do see a bit of that conflicting emotion come through. And so just kind of just feeling our way back to the new normal again and that it's okay. Or like I'm speaking of certain students, but
you kind of need to generalize too.
Because
each student will be so different based on where their mindset is, the time of the year, if this is going to be like what you were saying, this is coming back from spring break and then they're just going to be leaving again in a couple months. So it doesn't hit as hard.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's just quite interesting.
Just giving time and space, I would say, and just checking in.
Yeah, because after that is the number 7, pre-returns ups and downs.
Oh gosh, and that's just where, you know, there's a picture of me. I put myself in a student suitcase before. I'll share it.
Like, don't go take me with you.
Yeah, Yeah, we do that. We do go through that as family members returning home.
This
we
is don't so funny because I'm thinking more on the point of view of the students' pre-returns ups and downs, but really.
But there's also our side of our family members too. We're like, no, don't go. And when will you come back?
Mm-hmm. And, so when does that start for you? Because for us.
When they get the suitcases out.
Oh. And is that on average, like.
We like to live in denial until the suitcases come out.
Okay.
So it's up to them when they want to start packing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we usually have our pre-returns ups and downs around the week before. So if they're staying for the month or 6 months or 3 months, however long it is with us, it's usually the month before we start. If they're here for a longer period, we'll say, like the month before, I'm like, oh, I can't believe you only have a month left. Mm-hmm. It's gone by so fast. Like, what else do you want to do? Let's make sure we tick everything off your bucket list.
Yeah.
And that gets them up for a bit. But then they realize, oh, no, I have to go home soon. I'm going to have to get away from this amazing experience that I've had and go home. But then at the same time, I get to go home and be with my family that I miss. And then it really comes to head, like you said, when they ask for their luggage.
Yeah. So I would say like 10 days before. Mm. At least because you have a family calendar. And when you're like, oh my gosh, this is the last weekend or the last weekend's coming up, then we're just like, oh my gosh, like, no, we can't. Don't. So when you're planning down to those last days and we have our rituals before students go, so to try to, and they want to see their friends and trying to fit everything in and so trying to clean and
For us too, it's kind of the same. Like, do we plan all this stuff with you, especially with us when we have short term? We always tell them it's so great if you're not in the house. Not that we don't love you, but the fact that we see that you are making friends and you're going out to explore.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you're giving me the big
like,
eyes.
What do you mean get out of the house? Yeah. If you're leaving, get out of the house now is where I thought you were going.
No. I mean, like,
don't make me feel.
The whole time that you are here.
Okay, yes.
Uh-huh. We love seeing the fact that you are not in the house.
Right.
Because it means.
Be social. You're practicing your English. You're out there ordering a coffee. You're out there waiting for BC Transit.
Yes, exactly.
And riding the bus and figuring out the stops and seeing the sights and, you know, at the activities and events and everything the city has to offer.
Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to pre-departure, we're like, oh, but we want to
watch a show.
Yeah, we want to do something with you.
Yeah.
But we don't want to take
away
your time. Yeah, away your time with being with all these friends that you made. With us, it depends sometimes on the student. Like, sometimes we'll do stuff. Sometimes we won't, just because there was a lack of time.
Right.
They're also sad that they don't get to do anything with us. I remember we had this one student where she was actually quite sad that we didn't do anything. And not that we didn't want to.
There's just no time.
There was no time. We had all talked about it. We had all tried to. And then I said, you know what? It's not about the weekends. It's also about the time that we spend in the evenings and stuff. So it's okay. It's okay that there was not a big to-do. But we see each other every evening, mostly. So you should spend your weekends with your friends that are outside of school and you get to do fun things with them. So, yeah. But then they're like, but I want to hang out with you. I'm like, yeah, I'm no fun. Go hang out with your friends. That's what I usually say. I'm like, you don't want to hang out with me, an adult. Blah. And then they're like, okay, fine.
Aw, that's kind of you, Mary.
That's true. They don't want to hang out with me. Come on. So then number 8. They finally return home.
Oh, goodness.
They're happy to be with their friends and the family. They missed everybody. Oh, yay.
The tearful airport goodbyes. Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've already done that.
I know. They're there.
And they're there.
They had their...
They get to see everyone that they have not seen for however long it's been that they've been away, right? Like, that's enough.
And they're
back
in their beds and they're like waking up. Where am I? Which country am I in? Right?
Yeah.
Which bed am I in? It's facing the wrong way. Yeah. What time is it? What language should I be speaking? Am I even dreaming in the right language?
Oh my gosh.
Right?
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. We've had conversations with our students where we're like, which language should I be dreaming in? Like, what do you dream in?
I've asked my students that, but because my students are all short term, they still dream in their home country language. But that's so interesting with the long-term students that they start dreaming in English.
Well.
Wow.
But you think back home, like, this is something. And then maybe your crazy host mother has sent you a baby doll. You can have nightmares about... Anyway, she sent me a picture of a creepy doll yesterday that scared her.
But I think you're talking more about number nine, missing their abroad life.
Yeah.
Then they get the reverse culture shock.
Okay.
Right? They're back home in their country and they're like, oh, I miss the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Or
they actually do miss BC Transit. They just want to come back and like wait and ride the bus. Yeah, they do. They miss BC Transit.
What do they miss about it, seriously?
They spent so much of their time riding the bus. So my German family that came, like she actually wanted to take her parents on riding the bus with her because they spent so much of their time. They're like, I need you to experience this because this is where I spent the majority of my time was riding the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they do talk about it and joke about it. And anyway, I'm on the Instagram messages and
they're talking about the bus.
Like they miss living here so much, they even miss the bus is a joke. Yeah.
And I think that really plays into going back to the number three, the culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
How we take for granted that the bus is just part of the city and it's part of the system, but really is a totally different culture and a thing.
Because like even every month they have to go to, you know, the 7-Eleven and get the bus pass. And sometimes that one 7-Eleven
is sold out.
Yes. And so then you have to know where the backup one is to go and get it. And that's a culture shock thing. And like you have to get it before they sell out. And where's your other backup? If that one's, you know what I mean? Like there are things and do it before you run out of your current bus pass or you're paying out of pocket. It's a thing.
Wow.
They even miss that. That's how much they miss it. And then you have to know that they're in their home country, like seriously upset and missing us. And yeah, the reverse culture shock. Like sometimes I see the Instagram posts when I read them and I'm just like crying reading their posts about how much they miss it, right? And yeah. You're like, oh, you can come home anytime, baby. That's what I say. Come home anytime. We're here. Mm-hmm.
But then even after that, just like anything, any other emotional roller coaster that you go through, you're at the end of the cycle and you're adjusted and you're back home and everything's back to your original normal.
Yeah, but don't you just want to ride it again? You're like, woo, that was fun.
And some of your students do.
They come back.
They go to universities and they're off somewhere else.
I know. I got a message from one of my university kids saying I might be coming home for Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm on tenterhooks waiting.
That's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm.
I haven't sent anything to the kids yet because, you know, you can't promise unless you can deliver.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So everybody, mom's the word.
Do your kids listen to the podcast?
Nope.
Kira likes to listen sometimes. She's like, Mommy, that's you. I'm like, yes. And who's that? Auntie Erin.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Kira. Auntie Erin loves you. Virtual hugs.
So you're going to go through the cycle again. Possibly. Potentially. Mm-hmm. With your students.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting. Christmas isn't that far off. So we'd love to hear if she is going to be back.
Okay.
And then all the stories that comes with the culture shock of that. And even
maybe she'll bring more furikake. Right? I'll mix it with my blue cheese.
Ew.
Come on, Mary. You can't knock it till you try it. Just once. Just one furikake and blue cheese?
Maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
I stop putting salt and butter in my rice and I wash it. And I've been doing all the right things. Just one blue cheese with furikake? Just once? Pretty please?
If we record it for a podcast episode.
Yes! Okay.
Because I think that would be funny.
Okay. Great. You're on.
Okay.
Audio magic coming your way. Done.
I feel like that's going to be my own version of a culture shock.
Yes.
So like right now I'm at the pre-arrival. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this.
Yes. Rice intervention in reverse.
I'm in culture shock soon.
The rice is going to mix.
With the Japanese furikake.
Oh, and the blue cheese.
Oh. Love furikake. Love rice. I don't mind the blue cheese. It's not my go-to cheese.
Oh, you're so brave, Mary. I applaud you with my broken hand.
Okay. Thanks, Erin.
You're welcome, Mary.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Homestay Kitchen, hosted by Mary Chan and Erin Eastman. Produced by me, Mary Chan of Organized Sound Productions, web, and show notes by Aaron Eastman. Like what you're hearing? Write us a review wherever you listen. Or drop us an email at homestaykitchen@gmail.com. We would really appreciate it. For more information on this episode, visit homestaykitchen.com. And when you're ready to dish up your stories, connect with us on Instagram @homestaykitchen or on Facebook. Thanks for joining us.